Good morning. Hello, everybody. This is Pear Bristow. And of course, it's not morning for everybody, morning for me, but you are all over the place. And that's why we call this a virtual class that we're having for members of the Singing Zone. We have an exciting 90 minutes, possibly 2 hours in front of us here. So what we're going to do now is you have two options to listen to this. Either on your computer, which is probably the best way because your speakers are probably better than your phone is, but you can also listen in over the phone. We did this a couple of months ago now, and as I said then, there were so many submissions, and I only got to play a fraction of the songs, and so I said that we were going to do another one. Of course, now I got even more submissions. So, yeah, great thinking, Pear. I'm saying that just so that you feel that if I don't play your song, that don't get disappointed. But we're going to try and cover as many as we can. And, of course, I'm going to try to move it along. But on the other hand, I just don't want to just rush through things either. So I do want to get an opportunity to chat with you. So if I call your name, then I would like you to pick up the phone and call in. And on that page, inside the Singing Zone, that's where you are at now, the page where you have the URL to the webcast. But you also have phone numbers there. So if I call your name, then call in, and so then I can talk to you over the phone and we can talk about your specific issues and see what we can do to get to the next level. And speaking of that, then we should also be clear that this is a class, it's not a showcase. So that means we are ready to be vulnerable, and we are not here to be good necessarily. We're here to figure out what to do to go to the next level. And so when you listen to other people also, don't listen to it from the point of view of being in an audience in a show or a performance. That's not what it is. It's to listen, what can we do to improve. That's also why I want to get you on the phone if you are available, so that I know where you're coming from also and where you want to go. But it's very important. And you'll also hear that a lot of the submissions, or the submissions are totally different. Some people have more produced tracks. Some people have just sung into a microphone. Some people have good microphones. Some people have bad microphones. So the sound quality is very, very different. And you may have to adjust the volume because volume might be different. This system does adjust the volumes a little bit, but you may have to crank someone up a little bit or you adjust. So it's a comfortable listening situation for you. So what else? I do have a bunch of news that I'm going to share with you, some fun things that is happening after the new year. And I'll talk about that a little bit later in this call, because I want to get going now. So I think what we're going to do now is, Lee, if you are there, then I want you to call in. So we'll get going with you. And that's the song Already Gone. And after that, we'll go with Sebastian with Everything I Do. So if you're on the line. Now, if you're not on the line, I'm still going to talk about these songs because I have them here sort of in a somewhat order. And then, by the way, on the website there, on the webcast, you also have you can submit questions. So I'll try and look for those and see if there are questions once in a while. So Lee now has recorded the song. She's just singing into a microphone. And I've listened to a couple of these songs a little bit beforehand, so I know a little bit what's going on, what we're going to talk about. But anyway, so I'll check again if you're online here. And if you're not, I'm going to play this song anyway, or the vocal. So it's just a cappella. And we'll talk about it, because what she's doing is actually very, very common. So you'll recognize yourself here. All right, you ready? I'm going to play it.
Remember all the things we wanted. Now all our memories, they're haunted. We were always meant to say goodbye. Even with our face held high and It never would have worked out right, and we were never meant for do or die. I didn't want us to burn out. I didn't come here to hurt you. Now I can't stop.
All right. And what I'll do is, I may not play all the songs, the entire songs. What happens now is that, I don't know how it comes across now on the webcast. I'm listening through my headset here. So, now, first of all, it becomes a little bit distorted. Now, we're not talking about sound quality, but that, as a matter of fact, that is something that you want to develop also, how to present yourself in the best way. So it's a little bit distorted. So it's very loud into the microphone, but it's also a little bit how the vocals are. So Lee, you're singing it a little bit. It becomes a little bit harsh, a little bit overly loud, so to speak. Now, what's interesting is, and this happens for a lot of people. Now, she has a strong voice, but what happens to a lot of people is that we sort of overdo it. We go for the volume. And what happens is that it actually compresses the sound. So then it sounds a little bit harsh. It actually sort of compresses the sound within our body. And it doesn't become as warm, and it doesn't become as powerful as it could be. And that's also why it's important to recognize that power is not the same as volume. Because as a matter of fact, when we try to go for volume, you know, I talk about this in that very, very first lesson, as a matter of fact, you know, the difference between force and power, that when we go for volume, 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 it creates a lot of restrictions and it doesn't become powerful. Powerful is when you can empower and inspire and influence someone else, the audience, so that they have an emotional response. Now, if you are coming from a point where you used to be breathy, you used to be more held back, then this is a phenomenal development. So that's why we don't want to judge someone. This could be an enormous step forward, that you're now getting the power, you're getting those chords to connect. This is a very connected sound, right? So if you used to have a problem with that in the past, then this is phenomenal. So the next step for you is, and I know you've been a member for a while, so you are in month 3, so that's the depth exercise, because you want to get more depth in your voice. So if I exaggerate, now this is not how you're singing it, but if I exaggerate, if I sing like this and it becomes a little bit harsh, right? Now that comes across as a little screamy, doesn't it? And that's not powerful, because you as an audience will back up. Off and you don't like me, right? It's too harsh. Oh, yes, hello. All right, and now you're not doing like that, but sort of that's the tendency that we tend to get into. But you also notice that the depth disappears. It becomes sort of a higher, it's actually a thinner sound. So that is those relaxation techniques and the depth things that we do in month 3, and the releasing the tongue that we start off with in lesson 1, lesson 2. How do you feel that? Hey! There's a relaxed tongue inside of there. Now, I don't know the lyrics here, but if we just do vowels, whatever, if I'm just saying something, hey, I'm singing like this, rather than I'm singing like this. I'm singing like this. So I hope that makes sense. So that's the next step for you, Lee. Focus on that. Back off a little bit. And when I say back off, we don't want to feel that we're holding back. We're not being careful and cautious and protective and that kind of stuff. That just creates resistance also. You want to feel that freedom. So that's good what you're doing. You're letting it out, right? But a little bit cooler, a little bit laid back. And it won't be so harsh. It will create a much rounder, warmer sound, and you will actually be more powerful. You will actually be able to have more volume if that's what you want, because it's not as compressed. All right? Hope that makes sense. So, Sebastian, if you are there, then you call in, and then you press, star 2. Star 2 is, as soon as you call in, you're going to press star 2. And then after that, I'll already prepare you who we're going to go to after that. We're going to go to Javier with the song that I can't pronounce. Kukurukuku. Yeah, great pair. You know what I mean. Okay, we'll have a lesson in Spanish at the same time. Okay, so let me see if Sebastian's on here. And if not, I'm going to play your song anyway. I'll throw out a couple of names here that we're going to go for, just because I've uploaded them in the system in a specific order, so it's to make things easier. After Javier, we'll go to Josh. Don't Stop Believing. And then we'll go to Rashida. How about that? And then we'll see. Okay, so I'm going to play Sebastian's song. Here we go.
Look into my eyes, you will see what you mean to me. Set your heart, set your soul, and when you find me there, you search no more. Don't tell me it's not worth trying for. Can you tell me it's not worth dying for? You know it's true, everything I do it for you.
Okay. So Sebastian is writing then that he has just started singing. He didn't grow up in the U.S. And it says, I'm embarrassed to sing in public because I know I don't sound good. Okay. So, and that's fine, because singing in public is not necessarily what we have to feel is our goal when we develop skills, when we learn something. When you do become better and you feel more, then you will love to be able to sing in front of an audience. But the reason you sing in front of the audience is then because you have something to share and it's fun and it's an enjoyable process. So Sebastian, it's easy for you to get a lot better than you are. It really is. And that has to do with the vocal cord action. I'll talk a lot about the physical things today. Well, sometimes maybe we'll go into the performance aspects also. But in lesson one, you know, we talked about connecting the cords and when the cords are open. And we talked about how air escapes when the cords open up. And developing that muscle action is, well, it's not super easy, but it's not so incredibly difficult either once we focus on that. And that's also why I'm not a big fan of us singing scales or trying to sound good or engaging our ears so much. So your sound becomes wobbly because it's leaking. Your vocal cords are leaking. So if I sing with a leaky sound and then the breath is escaping, if I sing, everything I do, then my voice is going to become wobbly also. And again, I'm not doing these examples to say that that's how you sound. I'm just exaggerating if I do that with my voice. So, hey, if it's leaking like this. Now, if I'm leaking in a comfortable way, yes, then that's a breathy sound which can be extremely effective. As a matter of fact, it can be extremely powerful to sing a breathy if it is a choice. It can be very intimate. But if I'm trying to sing a high song like that, and I'm not trying to be breathy. I'm actually trying to sing loud. I hear Bryan Adams in my ears, and I want to sound like that. Then, or someone who has a strong voice. And by the way, yes, Bryan Adams has a strong voice, although he has a husky voice. It's not breathy. He has a raspy voice, but it's not breathy. There's a difference there. But anyway, so which actually might be what you've heard. So maybe you're trying to sound like this. Everything, and maybe that's what you think you're trying to achieve. Well, that's a big trap. So that's also why we don't want to go for trying to copy the original artist, because that's not what the original artist is doing. He's not trying to leak. He has a strong voice, very strong vocal cords. That's why he can sing for hours and hours with a husky sound. Same like someone like Bruce Springsteen or someone like that. It's not a breathy, weak sound. So, but if I go breathy, if my vocal cords are leaking, and I do like that, and I'm trying to be loud at the same time, and I'm trying to get the high notes, there's no way I'm going to do it. It's going to be wobbly. It's going to be off key. It's going to be off pitch. And then, of course, we think, oh, I have a pitch problem. No, that's not it. It's not that you're not, the strings aren't vibrating. So that's what you want to do. You really want to practice. And being from another country, you really want to focus on singing the vowels, because that's how you feel it. Ah, ah, ah. Sing it in a lower key like that, so that you feel that, so it becomes easier, so you can see what happens. If I leak, then ah, ah, and I feel desperate, right? And just letting it slide. Not emotional expression, but feeling good physically and getting those cords to connect. It's going to make a huge difference. So that's what I would like to hear from you. I would like to hear you sing a song that's a little bit lower in key, so it's easier for you to find it. And then sing, I wanted to hear you sing it just on vowels, and then I wanted to sing it with words, but feeling as if you're singing the vowels. So we don't want to get into the emotional, the performance aspect of it when we try to get the physical instrument to work in a more functional way. Hope that makes sense. So, Javier, let's see if you're on the line. And you might be in Mexico. Javier is not on here as far as I can see. You need to press star 2, otherwise I won't know if you're on. So what we'll do is, okay, I'll say three names here, and then whoever gets a line first is what we'll do. So Josh, don't stop believing. Rashida, what's it called? He's leaving for his new love. And Dave, half of my heart. So if any one of you are online, and if you're not online, I'm getting worried that you're not getting this. Don't Stop Believing. That's a hard song. A lot of people want to sing it, though. Not surprisingly. I can't tell you how many singers I get, how many rock singers I coach who say, I want to sing like Steve Perry. So he's somewhat of an idol among rock singers. Part of it is because nobody can sing like that. It's extremely high, but someone like that sings it still in a powerful way, but not necessarily all that loud. As a matter of fact, it doesn't sing it as loud as we think. So let's see now. Somebody on. Yes, we have someone here. So I am going to unmute you. It says, it ends with 025, the phone number. I think this is international. Hello?
Yes, how are you?
I am fabulous.
Hello?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay, perfect. This is Javier from Mexico.
Oh, terrific. Are you calling from Mexico?
Yes, I'm calling from Mexico, from San Miguel de Allende.
Fabulous.
Which is
a
wonderful city.
And there you are, singing all the time.
Well, yes, most of the time for the last, here in this little city for the last 9 years.
Terrific. So
Yes.
Yeah. So do you, before those 9 years then, you've been singing all your life or you started?
Yes. Well, yes, I've started. I come from a family of musicians, not professional. I'm the one that got involved in professional singing a long time ago, but yes, I hardly remember myself without singing.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So
okay.
Tell me about this song.
Well, this song, Kukuru Kuku, which is I know it's difficult to pronounce. We have a lot of Americans here living in San Miguel, but I choose this song because it's a very popular folk Mexican song, which is trying to the cuckoo cuckoo is trying to do the sound of a dove. It's a song that makes a metaphor between a love, a relationship that it's not in the time, and a dove. That's why cuckoo cuckoo is like cuckoo. Like
all
the
right.
sound of a bird. That's it. And in Mexican songs, in some Mexican songs we use the falsete or the falsetto in this way with a break and with a well. I'm pretty sure you heard it before, but
uh-huh.
Well, it's very nice for the people. I think I have done it since I. Before, when I used to sing as a soprano, when I was a kid, I started doing this kind of falsetto, and after that, well, when I became a baritone or soul voice, I still do this, and it's very, very, very nice for the people, and I enjoy it very much, and it's not very common to have all people doing this, but I really want to increase my range. And to try to sing higher in that falsetto, but with all the brightness, I don't know if I'm explaining myself.
Mm-hmm. So sing higher range without singing falsetto. Is that what you meant?
Not well. What I understood by the lessons, if I'm right, it's that we all have a falsetto voice. But the thing is that sometimes it comes like la. And not really with all the like the brightness or the color or the fullness of the boy. I don't know how to say it.
Right,
but
right.
It would be wonderful to come to those high notes that I can do in falsetto, but with more natural voice, more head voice. I don't know how to call this.
Right, yeah. No, I understand. So have a little more, a stronger voice, have more dynamics in the higher range.
That's it. And that it could feel like a natural voice, but it's really your high, your higher level of your range. And it's with all the color, the brightness, and not a really falsetto like in this song. You could hear the difference, I mean, and hear how I sing the other parts.
Yeah, terrific. All right, yeah, good stuff. And I think this is going to become a little bit clearer also when we talk about the other song that I'm going to talk about, the Don't Stop Believing, although that's a different style. But it's interesting with that, the range issue there. And how can we... Now, you have I listened to a little bit. Now, that high stuff comes in later in the song, doesn't it?
I'm sorry?
The high stuff comes in a little bit later in the song, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it comes in the middle and in the last part. The last minutes or so could have a sample of what mostly is the song.
All right. So stay on the line here, and we'll play the song here. Here we go.
Okay, thank you very much.
And then we'll talk more.
Noches, no más se le iba en puro llorar. no dormía, no más se le iba en puro tomar. Juran que el mismo cielo se estremecía al oír su llanto. Cómo sufrió por ella, que hasta en su muerte la fue llamando. Ay, 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 cantaba. Ay, 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 ay.
Turning that off.
No problem. No problem. I know it's a long song. No problem.
That's nice.
Well, thank you very much.
This is actually a good example of what I was talking about before. So Javier has a strong voice. You can be loud if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going max volume. It's not about volume for you. So it comes across as very, well, laid back, it's comfortable, and it becomes then, therefore, powerful.
Uh-huh.
Do you agree?
Yes. Well, yes, I...
You can't talk about yourself. No, but it really is a good example. So that is, of course, why muscle strength, frankly, is so important. The stronger body we have, the greater functionality we have in our body, the less effort there is to use it. So that's why we talk about the core strengthening and the breathing and the intercostal muscles and all those things and the vocal cords. All these muscles in our body, the more functional, the less effort, and the freer we can be so we can move around. So when you perform, do you move around a lot?
Well, sometimes, but not when I'm playing the guitar by myself like this.
Right.
Sometimes I just sing and I have a band or a kind of group playing for me. But it all depends.
Yeah.
It all depends on the situation and the audience.
Right. And a song like this, a style like this, doesn't lend itself to be dancing around. But you are moving inside. There's a movement. You really want to focus on that. Check that out when you rehearse, when you practice by yourself, when you sing, especially since you are playing the guitar, that you constantly feel the movement, that the neck is loose, so you don't get stuck in a position. Because that's such a common trap for people who play an instrument, that we get stuck. We're holding rather than moving with the instrument.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good tip.
Yeah. So as far as now the range goes, now here at the end here, you purposely went to the falsetto as an effect.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
In the first verse, you didn't do it was a little bit different. You went to a more falsetto tone towards the end here, right? So that's brilliant.
It wasn't falsetto in the first part. It was a natural voice. In the last part was the falsetto in This Is Some, well, very Mexican.
Exactly.
The kind of falsetto for Mexican songs, yeah.
Exactly.
Emulating or trying to do the sound of a bird.
Exactly, yes. So how high do you think you can sing comfortably without needing to go to falsetto? If you wanted to sing out with the full voice.
No, it's perfect. But in this, for example, in this song, I can do it loud or I can do it soft with a natural voice, not falsetto, the same note in the first part.
But this wasn't. I think you're singing an E here, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. C sharp D. Actually, you're doing that kookaroo kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But if you were to sing an F sharp G, how does that feel?
Well, we'll feel better because I think I have a baritone voice and I don't have problems with a low part. I mean, it would be easier. What I want to try to practice and get more involved with the practice is to try to bring to my falsetto level or to my falsetto voice the brightness, the color of natural range. I mean, that's what I would love to do because there's a lot of singers that can do that and you cannot. Notice exactly if they're doing a falsetto, but they're so bright up there, and I would love to work on that. I mean,
well, the interesting thing is what the vocal cords do when we sing falsetto.
And it's very interesting.
Yeah,
I wanted to tell you something. A long time ago, when I was playing in a band for 10 years. Because of smoking and playing in the band and whatever and singing a lot, I lose my falsetto voice. I mean, I couldn't do the falsetto voice.
Uh-huh.
And it was very, very interesting because I couldn't sing this kind of songs, this specific Mexican songs, because I lose it for a period of time. And
yes.
After that, I quit smoking for a time and I started rehearsing a little bit more, and something happened that they came back, and thanks God, they're here, and I haven't loosened the falsetto voice, that part. But it was maybe when I was in my middle 20s when I lose the falsetto voice, or 30s, probably.
Right. Well, that tells you about smoking, so that's a good message for everybody else. And that is, well, there's several reasons, and there's several negative things with smoking, obviously. But one part is that that you lose the flexibility of the vocal cords, and you have a constant swelling going on. So therefore, you can't sing the high notes, and you can't sing the falsetto. Now, the thing is, between these, as you know, I'm not a big fan of the terminology, the head voice, mixed voice, so forth, because it becomes confusing. And it doesn't have to be a big, you know, either or. Now, if we talk about falsetto, if we have, what did you have? If I do this, then that's falsetto. Ah, that's falsetto. If I now go to ah, now I went from falsetto, and it wasn't totally smooth. I blame early morning for that. No, just kidding. But it doesn't have to be a distinct break. It can be from one to the other. If I stay in falsetto, I can't go louder. I don't have any volume. I just have one dynamic, basically. I can't do much with it, especially if it's low falsetto, which that is. If it goes higher, it becomes easier. You can do a little bit more with it. So in that, then the chords are more open than they are when you sing with a more powerful sound. So it has to do with what the vocal cords are doing, right? So really, there's all kinds of variations from falsetto to edgy power voice or an edgy, really connected sound, right? It doesn't have to be either or. And it doesn't have to do with range. And that's what gets so confusing, because we think when I go to a certain note, then I have to flip to a different voice. And that because, and when we live with that belief, then of course we reinforce that, and then that's what happens. We go to a certain point, and then we have to flip to a different voice. And that's what naturally happens, right? So everybody has these kind of flips with the voice. Even kids have it. They have these distinct differences between the head voice, or let's talk about falsetto and the so-called regular voice that we call chest voice, right?
Yes.
So being able to go from one to another is an advanced developed skill. And we really want to emphasize that so that people don't get frustrated, because a lot of people get frustrated. I can't do that they hear other people do. Some people find it in a different way. So it comes easier to certain people, right? Now, you have a big voice, you have a baritone, and you have a rich voice, and you have strong voice. And as a matter of fact, for you, it's actually very, very doable to create that flexibility if the vocal cords can flex. Now, if you are a smoker and the vocal cords are in a swollen, dysfunctional way, then it's much tougher to develop. So then you will have a distinct difference between chest voice and the falsetto, the breathier thing, or else, like you noticed, the falsetto will suddenly go because they don't come together whatsoever. It's just air, right? I guess. Or sometimes this happens for people who have more dysfunctional voices. That's either air, and then they slap together once in a while, and it feels them very uncontrolled, that we don't know what's going on. So what you want to do is really to use what you have, the depth, and then you slide, and you keep maintain the depth. So you want to feel that you're not flipping to anything. So what happens there is that if you ask me if that's falsetto or chest voice or whatever that is on my high notes, the answer is I don't know. The answer should be I don't know, because I'm not focusing on it. Now, I happen to know a little bit. I feel the difference. But we don't want to focus on when does it flip or when does it change, right? So do that. Just do that. Good, right? So then you feel a little choking.
I think it didn't went to the falsetto, but
it may have. And that's yeah, it may have. But the biggest thing that you noticed was that there was a little bit of a contraction. There's a little bit of a choking feeling. You feel other muscles are trying to restrict it, or they're not quite used to that, so they try to get in the way. Or as I say in the first lesson, they try to help, right? But they're learning. They're learning now that they're just in the way. Get out of the way. All right. So the challenge is to focus not on the sound, not on what the vocal cords are doing. Focus on what the other muscles are doing. What's the tongue doing? What's the jaw doing? What are those other muscles? Those are the muscles that we want to still. We want to really send the message that, hey, you can just relax. The result might be that it cracks. So what? Right? And that's sort of, so it's very much a mental process, but that's also how you learn fast. So if you have a child who's learning to walk on a, well, let's say he can walk, she can walk, and she's going to walk on a balance beam. And you are there as the very helpful parent, and you're holding on to their body all the time. Well, is that child going to develop balance? Of course not, because you're messing with the child's balance. You think you're helping, but you're destroying the child's ability to actually experience balance. Now, balance
sure.
beam, yes, okay, that maybe not, that's not a good example, because then we have the fear of falling, right? So let's just say we're walking on a flat surface on one line, right? But it's sort of the same idea. If we are busy holding on in an attempt to protect, we will, that person will never develop really good balance. A child who is allowed to fall develops balance easily. Also, a child who's trying to climb up something, right, will naturally not climb higher than he's able to. But we helpful parents try to hold on, and that, and then we let go. They don't have a sense of their body. It's amazing. But a child who can do it by them, who learns to fall, and it's in a safe environment, so it's soft, no big deal, will learn to feel the balance of the body very effectively. But that's what we're doing to ourselves when we're trying to develop the balance of these muscles, the vocal cord action, that we're holding on all the time because we're afraid of falling. We don't let ourselves fall. We don't let the voice crack. We think that's the biggest failure. So I'm saying, let the voice crack if it wants to. But your task is to feel what the tongue is doing, for example. So do one more time and just focus on the tongue. Can the tongue stay relaxed all the way through? Ah! Did the tongue move? Try it.
Ah!
Fabulous.
No.
Say what?
No, I think it didn't move. I felt the break, but it wasn't because of the tongue, I mean.
Right. Good. So that's the focus. That's the assignment, right?
Okay.
And we are so brilliant because we can shift our focus from various points in our body, right? But if we're busy singing scales or following a pre-recorded track or following a scale and then someone tells us, oh, you're sharp, you're flat, we're never going to be able to get into that feeling because we're so in tune with what it sounds like. We're judging all the time. That was good. And when I say good, I meant because you noticed. You were focusing on it, right? So now I want you to focus on air, on the breathing out. So if the air stops, and you suddenly push harder in the middle, I'm not saying high note here because we want to get away from the thinking of a high and low. It happens to be in the middle. So you want to feel a free flow of air to the end. Breathe out. Try it.
Yes.
Yeah, you try it once. Do it.
Oh, you want me to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good. So feel a heavy tongue and just breathe. Oh, it feels good.
Yes.
Yeah, do it one more time. All right. Do it one more time. Good. Now throw it out. Toss it out a little bit. Be a little more nonchalant about it. Move your head. It feels good. Good. And one more thing. Don't open your mouth more than it wants to. Now, in the style of singing, when you express yourself, you open your mouth, and that's perfectly fine. But don't open your mouth more than it wants to hear. Just let it fall, right? And then that depends, of course, how tense our muscles are there, how much the jaw will fall. But don't open it. Don't put it in a position. Don't even think that you're saying a vowel. It's just heavy.
Like the NG or whatever.
It's still a vowel. It's still R, right? But you're not trying to shape it in a pretty vowel. You know, just heavy. And here we go. Do it one more time.
And okay.
Go ahead, do it faster. Good. One more time. We're super nonchalant here. Go.
Okay.
That's good. And then mentally, you need to focus now then that you're going to the end. It's the end. The up and down, it's not up and down, it's just forward to the end. Good. So was that falsetto or what was that?
Yes, and the high part, I mean, yes.
Was that falsetto?
I'm going, yep.
Okay, now do it in full falsetto.
Okay. You know the
best. Just sing the high note. Really? Delicate falsetto. Yes? Is that the quality that you had when you did the slide?
Is that the what? No.
Is that the quality you had when you did the slide? No, it wasn't. It wasn't as falsetto-ish when you did the slide because it had a deeper ring to it. If I do that compared to it's actually a deeper ring to it. So that's really the way to get to it, right? And then you play around with different ranges. So then you can have much more dynamics in the high note. What was that? Well, that was way higher than you need to be. But if we're here, for example, that's falsetto, or
okay,
that's a different quality. It's not as falsetto. So that's why it's hard to tell which one is which, really. It's not either or. That's how to get. So then you get more depth. You get the chords are connected more, but they become connected because of the other muscles relaxing. Your chords are already strong, so we don't need to work on those chords coming together. That's not the issue. The issue for you is then to feel comfortable that they can flex and stretch while they already are connected, and the other muscles don't interfere. And you're going to see you can sing those high notes in whatever quality you want.
Wow.
But
Me tell you something, and the audience to hear this. I had a few vocal coaches in my life, which is almost 30 years singing, and they obviously talk about tongue and jaw and larynx and use the scales and whatever, but this is totally different. This makes you have the awareness of your body, and I'm really excited, and I think I'm going to improve a lot in that part, and I'm very grateful that I found you by internet, trying to help a friend of mine, which has a little voice, and I was trying to find something to make a powerful or a richer or a more volume for my friend. She doesn't live anymore here in the same city. I cannot work with her. But then I found this, and I said, well, I want this for me, and it's been wonderful. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad we connected here. You have a wonderful voice. By the way, folks, one of the things that I was going to announce is that I have put up this inside the forum. There's a new section now that's called Showcase. I think that's what it's called. And Javier, I highly recommend you put if you have a website or something, put it on there so people can go and enjoy your music. Do you have a website?
Not yet. No, I'm on Facebook, and probably
right.
I can put some things on Facebook, but I don't have a web page.
Well,
but
I want to get your CD.
I will try to. Of course. Thank you very much. I would love to. I would let you know, and I would try to go through this site to let people know if they want. It would be wonderful to share stuff, and if this could help in any way, or just sharing. I would be very glad to do this.
Well, thank you. Well, great talking to you, and I think hopefully this has been helpful for a lot of people. Whether you're beginners or professionals, wherever you're at. So thanks a lot, Javier, and we'll talk another time. Take care.
Thank to you, and thank to all the audience. Thank you very much for your words.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
So, Josh, We're going to go to Don't Stop Believing now. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to play it right away because this is interesting. This is going to build on what we talked about. This is perfect, actually. Let me play this right now, Josh. And if you're on the line, then press start 2 and we'll talk.
Just a small town girl, living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. And just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere.
Josh, you're not on the phone here. So I'll explain to people what I mean here. Josh, you're doing a great job here. This is like we talked about. It's a hard song. Not only because it's high, but it's high all the time. See, it's one thing to sing in a high note once in a while, but to stay in that range all the time is hard. So what tends to happen then is, of course, people start screaming, pushing, there's more and more effort, and it becomes a lot of that compensatory tension that I talk about. So what you're doing great here is that you're not trying to sing loud and overpowering it and screaming and shouting, which tends to happen a lot. So that's good. It's really good. And that's also how you can keep going through the song. Now, you write here that you have a natural deep voice, so it would have been interesting to hear your speaking voice. But the truth is that a lot of those rock singers who sing high have quite deep speaking voices. Not all of them, but some of them. And that is because a strong deep voice has an easier time to flex into high than the other way around. And that's why developing the depth and the strength is so incredibly helpful for everybody. So if we have a light, high-pitched voice, then that's what you want to do. You want to develop the strength. You will always be able to sing high notes. So here's the thing, Josh. Now, the next step for you is to get a little more edge into it. Because so it doesn't have to be so light. If you folks listen back to this, I cut it off here. But we at the end there, it becomes maybe a little bit unnecessarily falsetto-ish. I'm not saying falsetto or head voice. It's not either or. So Josh is going in and out, right? You hear at the end of the phrases, it becomes he's lightening it up. It becomes a little bit lighter, and it actually has more of a falsetto-ish quality. Right, so I know I'm getting stuck in using these terms that I don't want to use, but it becomes a lighter sound. So the next step for you, Josh, is to get a little edgier sound. So how do you do that? Well, you already have the flexibility, you have the range. It's pretty easy, it's pretty laid back, right? It's the same thing that we talked to Javier about. You want to focus on the other muscles so that they relax, so you don't start squeezing. If I do, well, that's a strangled voice, right? Yes, the chords are coming together, but a lot of other stuff is coming together too. So then it becomes a harsh sound. And however good we are, that is going to happen when we get tired. It doesn't matter how well you know how to run. At the end of a marathon race, you're not going to have good form. You are going to be a contracted mess, right? If you can even complete a marathon. So at the end of a song, after the end of a set, after the end of rehearsal, we are going to be more fatigued, more contracted than when we started. If we're not, we're not working out. So that's also something we want to be aware of. Fatigue is not necessarily a bad thing. If you go to the gym and you feel tired, it's not necessarily that you've done something bad. If you're not tired, you may have wasted your time. So that's also something we develop with awareness. What's the difference between good fatigue and injury, right? But oftentimes, frankly, I find people are more scared than they need to be when it comes to voices. Having said that, if you have an issue, of course, you want to be aware of that and take care of it. So, Josh, if you do, just like that, then what is that, falsetto or whatever? I don't know, but it's. But we want to feel the relaxation, right? Like we said, we do the slides first. But for you, a good thing is to start off up there. But what I'm really focusing on is to not adjust anything before the sound is created. I want to feel that I'm as relaxed as I am when I breathe. But when you breathe silently, of course, that's even more relaxed. Tongue, everything. And then you go, now you can play around with that. So it's now, if the chords don't connect, then again, do we get frustrated or do we just accept it? Right? Is it okay if they slip once in a while? Yes. Good. So if you sing that, that's what you want to do, like you're doing. Just a small town girl. And for you who listened to the previous session we did, I was talking about this to Ernest, right, who was singing We Are the Champions. Because he had the tendency then to use the power of his voice. So Josh, when you sing, just a small town girl, then you tend to go a little soft. Maybe not on that phrase. I don't remember which phrase it was. But, da-da-da-da-da-da, and then you're almost going falsetto at the end. All right? So if you can go more edgy after a while, that would be wonderful. Oh, yeah, just a small town girl. So that's more edgy, right? That's lighter. Because then you will be able to go up on the high notes. How does it go? Strangers, I have it here somewhere. I should know these songs. To the night, right? Something. Strangers. And then it's not. And it's unnecessarily light. So hopefully that comes across over the phone line here. I'm reading what you're writing here. You want to sound like Steve Balsamo from Jesus Christ Superstar? Really? I sang Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar, you know. Concert version, but it's a wonderful part. As a matter of fact, that's a good example. If you're going to sing something like that, then that is all about edginess. That is about power. And that's, if you sing that song, Gethsemane, that's about getting an answer, right? If you sing, have to know my Lord, have to know my Lord. that answer now. So if we sing that too light, I have to know my Lord, it's not going to come across, right? In that song, he screams, Jesus, he's really screaming, and that's what is needed for the character. When he says, all right, I'll die. All right! And the thing is, how do you do it the next day too, right? So that's what we have to learn. How do we get edgy without hurting our voice? It comes down to strength also. You have to get the strength, condition yourself so that you can complete the marathon race. It's not just about learning how to run an effective stride, to have an effective stride. But does that make sense? More edge. Oh, don't stop. Don't stop. Where is it? Don't stop believing. And now I'm adding vibrato. It's actually a good idea not to sing vibrato when you practice. Don't stop. Just say it. Believing. So it feels that slide rather than don't stop believing. Becomes too falsetto-ish. So that's the next step for you, Joshua. What I would like to hear you, if we get another opportunity to hear you, is that you go a little more attitude, a little more edge, and see if you can do it. And when you practice, you just do it a line at a time. Speaking of that, so let me now make some announcements, because here's the interesting thing that we're going to do starting in January. The most common question I get or request I get is so that people can get feedback from what they're doing, which of course is very helpful. The question is, how do I accomplish that without doing private lessons? We only have so many hours a day, a week. So what we did here now, you know, we have the forum where I try to answer questions, but the limitations is, of course, there is that I haven't seen you, I can't hear you, I don't really know what's going on, so the answers tend to become more general than I would like them to be. What we've done here now is that I've been able to hear your songs so I can get a little bit better feedback, but the really good feedback is when we hear the difference from 1 week to the next or for a couple of weeks. So like I talked about here, for example, with Josh, if I can hear you again in a couple of weeks, and then the next step is this, and then the next step is this, same thing with Lee, if we can hear, you know, with everybody we talked about here, that's the beauty of it. So what I'm going to do starting in January is that we're going to have sort of a different level of membership where I will listen to you. We're going to have these conferences every other week, perhaps even more often, depending how many are interested. But the point there is so that I can hear you on a consistent basis. So I get to know you, get to know your strengths and weaknesses so that I can really help you without you having to take private lesson. So we'll do it as a group session. It will be a different level, so it will cost a little bit more than the regular membership, but much less than private lessons, of course. I haven't set the price, but it's probably going to be maybe a couple of $100 per month. But then, like I said, we'll do these on a continuous basis. We're also going to depending on what we discover, I'll do case study videos so I can really show you these issues that we're talking about. So that's the idea. We'll sort of have this. Now, obviously, that to make that work, it has to be very limited. So it will be only for a group of people that are interested in that. I'll put up a sort of an interest form on the website here together with a replay of what we're doing today. So then I get a feel for how many might want to be interested in this. You don't have to commit to it, but don't put your name in unless, if you know you're absolutely not going to do it, then don't put your name in, because I do want to get a good, accurate sort of idea of how many are interested. So that's that. The other thing, what we're going to do in January is that also a lot of people have asked me about, is to do a special webinar or teleseminar, whatever we want to call it, in regards to acid reflux. You know, I've talked a little bit about it in the past. If you were on the last call, we talked about it with Dino because I had talked to him previously. And I got a lot of emails about it that they wanted that. So that's what we're going to do. That's just part of the regular membership, so there's no extra cost for that. But we'll do that as specifically about acid reflux. As you may or may not know, is that, well, first of all, acid reflux is a huge problem for a lot of people. It's a terrible problem for singers, frankly, and it's extremely common. I've had it. I had a severe problem with it, and I've healed from it. The problem is that the traditional way of healing it often creates bigger problems. Or as a matter of fact, we're not even taught how to heal it. The only thing that we're often given is how to control it with drugs. And unfortunately, as most people have realized, it doesn't help. As a matter of fact, long term, it makes the condition worse. So anyways, we're going to talk about that, and I'm really going to try and give you some tips on how you can really solve that issue, because it's horrible. I know the feeling. What else? I talked about the forum that we have, that showcase thing, so feel free to add your stuff there and make yourself known and promote yourself if you want, or if you want to get feedback. I'm also going to be adding more videos. As a matter of fact, I've shot two more videos that I'm going to add here. I think they're going to be added to the month four, so if you're already there, then you'll get that. If you want to get the Sing with Freedom DVD set to give away for Christmas present, I'm going to set up a special link for you, or I'll email a special link where you can get the DVD set for just $97 as sort of a gift set if you want to give that away. That won't come with the Sing His Own membership, and the reason for that is because they're not going to get it until Christmas probably. But if they send an email to support, then they can get a month free of the Sing His Own also. So that might be a nice gift for people. What else? I'm adding members to my team after the new year. So if you have skills, if you want work, then maybe we can do something. If you're local in Los Angeles and you have skills, and by skills I'm talking about various areas such as writing, graphics, programming, admin, production, video production, music production. We're going to do a lot of stuff. So if you're local in LA, or if you know someone who's local and who's excited about possibly being a part of the team, or some things might be able to be done virtually also, since we live in this beautiful virtual world. Okay, so let's move on. Let's see if there are any questions. My mic distorts when I sing today. Sorry. All right, so that will be a thing for next time, to improve the sound quality, because now I have this headset, so I can't really back off of it. Unless I sort of move it from which is okay. But that's a good point. So when we sing to a microphone, we actually want to adjust the distance to the microphone depending on how we sing here. So sorry about this distortion. What do you mean by an edger sound? Yeah, that's kind of what I did. The edger is really sort of when the edges of the vocal cords are coming together a little bit, I shouldn't say harder, but... the edges are vibrating stronger together, and sometimes we can actually add distortion to it also, which is what rock singers do, right? So if the chords are together, that's coming together, but if I do and that's a little bit of that vocal fry that I'm talking about in month three. And like I say in the video, the reason I don't have it until month three is because so many people have been exposed to vocal fry, and it frankly becomes very contracted by doing it. So it would be irresponsible for me to talk about vocal fry before I talk about the depth and the freedom. And you really got to have already developed that sense of awareness. I'm just flicking through questions here. Wow. Geez, I'm sorry. There's no way I'm going to be able to get to these questions. Tons. I'm scrolling. I think I'm going to have to pass on trying to answer questions, frankly, and just hope that they are answered by what we're doing here. Let's go to a new song. Hey, David, Sultans of Swing, if you're there, call in. If Rufida, if you're there, Moon River, call in. Lily, the wolf, how about you call in? Okay, so I'm going to play Rashida. Here we go. To judge good or bad, you're all fabulous. You're fabulous for the fact that you're doing it, you're submitting it, and you're working on improving yourself. That is fabulous by itself. So you're saying here that I need to work on making the story of my performance believable, and to smile in my eyes and face more when I'm performing. And you feel that. I have a smooth style and sound, but sometimes I feel my moderate to fast upbeat songs lack energy. Okay, so everybody who's listening now, is that a breathy sound or a more connected sound? It's a more semi-breathy sound, right? Is that good or bad? No, there's no such thing as good or bad. If that is a choice, and that's very cool, right? It is smooth. It becomes smooth. It becomes intimate. Because she's breathy, she can be closer to the mic, and it has that presence. That is nice. We always want to make sure that it is a choice and not a habit. So if that is how you tend to sing all the time, then, of course, your body, your muscles get used to that. And you start thinking that this is who I am. But that becomes a limited you. You want to be able to sing stronger, more powerful, more connected, because that is how you're going to get the range. So what happened here when you went up to the high note, it didn't change in dynamics. It didn't change in intensity. It didn't change much at all. And the backup vocals came in. Sort of took over, which is cool. I'm actually curious to know if you're doing the backups yourself. And the backups has a breathy quality to them too, which of course they should have, since the lead has a breathy tone. and that becomes very nice. The backups are actually a little bit off pitch, so I don't know if you are how this was recorded or what the situation is, but when there are multi-part harmonies, that's when pitch becomes even more sensitive. So as a lead singer, we can get away with pitch issues, but backups, we can't. So, and that's for you who sing in choirs, that also becomes a trap, because for you who sing in the choir, it is, in a sense, more important that you sing right than that you sing well, which also becomes a trap, because you don't want to experiment and play around and feel the freedom of your voice with the risk of that you're going to go off key, right? So that's why the ears are so in tune with what the others are doing, which is great. Then you sing in the choir, but also where you will be get stuck in singing in a certain way. So if that is a great way and you get stuck in that, then fine. And that's how you sing. But if you start getting into problems and you start compensating, you start doing things, then you really need to take your time outside of choir by yourself and not try to sing on key, not try to sing correct as far as the notes go, but really explore your voice and get greater freedom, because that's how you then will sing even better on key but with less effort. So I'm just saying that in case that is you singing the backups. So for you, you want to develop the strength of the vocal cords, the connection of the vocal cords. You want to be able to have a dramatic difference between connected, breathy, and everything in between. So I'm a little bit concerned that you're probably used to singing like this a lot, and that's why you feel it lacks whatever you said here, it lacks something. And yes, it does, because what happens is that it lacks dynamics. And if you sing three songs like this in a row, well, then it starts becoming boring for the audience, because we as an audience, we love dynamics, we love changes, we love, you know, and those changes can be different tempos, different keys, but different way of singing, and ultimately you want to be able to have different dynamics within a song. Now, as far as you said, I need to work on making the story of my performance believable. Yes. Now, interestingly enough, that's not anything we work on. Acting class is all about stop acting. All right? What are you singing about? Who are you singing it to? What does that mean to them? Not what it only, yes, what it means to you, that is important also, but what does it mean to them? Why are you singing it to them? Well, you're singing it to them because it's a universal experience, because you want to share it with them, because they probably feel the same way. So even if we're singing a love song to one specific person, if it's a sort of a private moment kind of song, a big trap is that we close our eyes and we start going into memory lane and trying to be all passionate and emotional. Well, then that becomes fake acting, because when you talk to someone, if you're talking to me about this person, about your experience with this person, you're not going to close your eyes and go into all yourself. You're going to talk to me. And that's what we want to do as performers. We want to talk to them, even if it is about, sometimes some songs is that you're talking to one specific person, but then you are, is still outside of yourself. So when you say, I need to work on making the story of my performance believable and to smile in my eyes and face, well, the reason you smile in your eyes and face is because you feel good, right? You don't want to put that on as something that you have to work on. I bet you it's you smile very easily. Maybe you do it daily. If not, you need to get into situations where you can really enjoy yourself, right? Smiling comes naturally when you feel good, and that's the situation you want to get into. When do you feel good? Well, if we're on stage and we're thinking about the high notes and thinking about singing the right notes, and I wonder if they're going to like me, if I sound good enough, I wonder if my voice is going to last all the way to the end of the performance. That doesn't make me feel very good, does it? That self-consciousness, and that is because I'm judging myself. And when I judge myself, I frankly judge other people. I'm judging the fact that they are going to judge me. No, they're not there to judge you. They're there to have a good time. So that's what we want to get into. Now, this is not a performance class, so I'll stop talking about that. But develop that, the physical aspect of the voice, and you're going to start enjoying it more. You're going to enjoy the dynamics of the songs. You're going to be able to go from breathy, very intimate, to letting it out bigger. And that's going to be fun in itself. And then you share that with other people, what the song is about, and that smile will be so natural. Okay, I'm gonna see who's online here. This is International 44. That's England, isn't it? Hello, England.
Hello, Pat.
Yes.
Hi there. It's David here.
David.
How are you?
Yeah,
we're in a cold UK. You're having a life of Riley there in Los Angeles, no doubt.
Well, it's not. It's certainly not as cold. No. So you have Sultans of Swing, right?
Yes.
So I listened a little bit to it here. Who's playing?
Well, I'm playing the lead guitar. That was my ambition, to play like Mark Knopfler, the lead guitar. And some old school friends of mine came along with me to the recording studio, and Paul did the bass guitar, and Ken played rhythm. So basically, I was left with lead guitar and vocals.
Hmm. Well, there you go. You were left with. you had to take what was left over. Right. Yeah.
Well, it didn't happen like that. It was a gift from my other half for my 60th birthday, and so you know, it was very nice. And we went along to the recording studio, and the guys came along to provide the backing for me, really.
Cool. So tell me about your. So you've been playing guitar for a long time.
I've been playing for a long time, but only in the last couple of years have I decided I would really like to improve, you know. And, you know, when you get older, you've got a little bit more money to buy a decent guitar. And, you know, I'm enjoying playing it. And when I went along to that recording studio, you'll laugh at this. To me, the difficult bit was trying to play the Mark Knopfler lead guitar, and the vocals was a kind of something that came along with that. And obviously, as you can probably hear, I discovered that's not quite as easy. The vocals are kind of more important than that.
And how did you record the vocals?
Well, funny you should say that. I did try to record them as I was playing the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And we went back to the studio next door, you know, and listened in, and it really wasn't good enough. My voice was not, I wasn't pumping it out. And what I was kind of doing, I think, was as I was playing the guitar at home and practicing, the vocals were a kind of perfunctory thing, if you understand what I mean. I was just sort of doing the vocals to keep time with the guitar. And when it came to listening to the results in a recording studio, it really wasn't, you know, it wasn't good enough. And we sat there, it was kind of embarrassing, because I was sitting there with my friends and the professional engineer, and we all looked at each other and shook our heads, and it really wasn't good enough. So I was sent back to record the vocals as a separate track, and people were saying to me, right, you've got to really put some effort in and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, those comments are very interesting in the light of what I've learned from you.
Hmm. And you and I have met once.
Yes.
Over webcam.
It's been
a while, I believe. But I actually do remember you, because I actually think I mentioned you even in the last. I don't know if I should say that. Maybe we shouldn't. Maybe you want to be.
It's probably data protection law. No, but you did actually. I did hear you mention me, and I was very flattered, of course.
Oh, okay. So I didn't say anything bad. Okay. All right. Now, first of all, regarding the studio, I frankly think that's a smart way to do it. When you record first with a band and with the guitar, you lay down the vocals to help along, but that becomes a scratch track, and then you go in and do it for real. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, the whole thing was a very interesting all round. You know, it was a wonderful gift that I was given. A very salutary lesson about singing, of course, because I realized it ain't easy. But it was a great experience.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's terrific. Good stuff. And when we met before, you were singing only in your super, super low range, ridiculously low.
Yeah, that's right. Sweet Home Alabama, and you were talking me up a whole octave, I seem to remember.
Yes, yes. And for some reason, because you hadn't sung much before at all, had you?
No, not at all.
No. And so what often happens then is that we sing in a comfort range. And for guys, that comfort range is in our speaking range. But that's not really where the songs go. And sometimes the comfort range for females is, frankly, in the high voice and the head voice, which is not the speaking voice. But we all get comfortable in one range. We think that's where we sing, right? So what I pointed out to you then was that the original Sweet Home Alabama, they actually sang an octave higher, which you knew, you know music, but for some reason you didn't think you could sing those high notes.
No, that's right.
But it's interesting how, now even in this song, Sultan of Swing now, is in the lower range, and it has a speechy kind of feel to it, but what's happening, because I can hear that you're not stuck in low range here as you were. Now, I have something to relate to, which other people won't have. But you're not stuck there. Now it's just cool when you sing this. Now it's that speechy cool, and you do it in the key, in the original key, I assume. And it's like cool, laid back. It's not held back. It doesn't come across as someone who's careful and cautious and shy and I can't sing. Now it comes across as someone who's actually communicating.
I see.
That's a huge improvement. What I would like to hear now is that you sing something where you really challenge yourself in the high notes, and you release those higher notes with the same kind of confidence and those high notes are probably going to come out great too. So. Let's listen to a little bit here, folks. So stay on the line there while I play a little bit of this. Here we go.
Okay.
Check out Guitar George. He knows all the he doesn't make the scene. He's got a daytime job and he's doing all right. He can play the honky-tonk like anything.
That when we have to cut people off, not even a nice fade out.
Not to worry, I'll forgive you, Pear.
I should put up a link to the song so people can enjoy it. Put up a link in that showcase section. But
okay, well, yeah. Why
not? get some feedback. Yeah, all right. No, but good. You can play the guitar. I mean, it actually sounds. It probably doesn't sound so good now over the internet, maybe, but the recording quality, the overall recording quality, you've done a really good job here with the band and everything.
Well, that's very kind of you to say so. I mean, what I have to stress, though, especially to the audience, is that I couldn't get up on stage right now and do that in one take. I mean, that was several takes, and the very clever recording guy putting, you know, if I made a mistake, he would cut that out and take a different take. So I wouldn't want to, you know.
That's what professionals do.
Yes.
it's funny. We think that's a mark of that we can't do things. Oh, I had to do different takes. That's what we do in recordings. That's the luxury of recordings. That's not failure. That's using the environment to your best potential, what you can do to present yourself in the best way. Now, when you perform it, you're not going to be able to do it. No, on the performance, you're going to do something different, which frankly might be better.
Okay. Yeah, who knows?
Then you have a different energy, from the crowd, depending on what the crowd is and the band behind you. You play, it's going to be different. It's going to be better, worse. No, it's different, right? Everybody, however great they are at singing, is going to do many different takes because it becomes the choices of the fine, the expression, the differences between different takes that people may not even hear the difference. But the artist chooses, or the producer, and so good stuff. But it's you're using your voice well. I think you're using it. It's effortless. It's cool. It's laid back. You're having fun with the lyric. You're playing with a voice, so it doesn't sound monotone. Even if you're still are in this sort of comfort range of your voice, but you're going up and you're doing that kind of thing with a speechy kind of notes. So if this is a showcase, that's a smart song for you. You show off your guitar skills and you show off like you're a cool singer. We think you're a better singer than maybe you are. No, I'm just kidding. No, but it sounds like, yeah, he could sing if he wanted to.
Well, I'm pleased that it gives that it comes across like that. That's so funny.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a little bit colored because I know what it was. So I'm hearing it in a different way. I know where you were coming from. I know your fact that you were very uncomfortable with singing at all, using your voice.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
So that's brilliant. I think that's not the impression we get when we hear this. In my opinion. So knowing that, where you're coming from, I think is brilliant. So next step now is to be able to sing a song that's more challenging vocally, has more range, where you get to sing long notes, sail on soaring long notes, rather than the speechy things where you can sort of get away from the pitch, and it's totally fine.
Well, I was trying... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say I did try to sing. I do an instrumental on the guitar of Lennon McCartney's Yesterday, and I did try to sing along with it for a verse, and I thought very carefully about what you'd said about when I did Sweet Home Alabama, and I tried to go into a higher octave, and it didn't work for me. It was too high, and then when I went down to the other octave, I thought, Pear is not going to like this. It's like Sweet Home Alabama all over again. And so I was sort of caught between the two stools, and I thought, well, the professionals would change key. But, of course, the problem is on my guitar, I was playing the instrumental with using partly open strings. Which in Yesterday is supposed to be an F, and I was trying to stick with F. So my challenge would be, you know, for example, to try and sing Yesterday, which at the moment I can't do.
So what I would suggest is to pick a song where it's more encouraging to be a little bit bolder and wilder and louder, but like we talked about before, it's not about loud, screaming loud, but you have a rich, nice voice, so that's not an issue for you. So sing a song like Let It Be, for example, instead, where it helps you to feel that sense of calling out a little bit more, just to be comfortable with that. So if you say, what key does Let It Be? Where is it? Actually, Let It Be is actually super high, so that you might want to sing that in low key. But if we do, Let It Be, Let It Be, say that.
Let It Be, Let It Be.
Okay, all right. So now you're becoming a little bit cautious and careful because everybody knows who you are. No, we haven't really revealed your identity, really, have we? So it's okay. You can be wild and crazy here. Let's do it a little bit lower. That's it. Let it be, let it be, yeah, call out.
Let it be, let it be.
All right, so now, in a sense, this is a little bit weird because it's a vowel E, and E is often not the easiest vowel to sing. So what happens now, what you do, what most do, is that they back off. You just did, let it be. And you backed off on the vowel, let it be, let it be, let it be, which might be cool from a style point of view. But right now I want you to do, let it be, let it be, all the way.
Let it be, let it be.
Yes, there you go. So then again, it's one flow to the end. That is not word by word. It's not a stylistic thing. It's just consider it a muscle exercise. Now do it on ah. Ah. Good. So when you listen back to this and what everybody else heard, just to make you a case here, is that you sang note by note. You did and you're hitting the notes, right? So incredibly common. That's what we do. That's what we're conditioned to do. And so it's a little bit of a challenge to get away from that. You notice when I did it, I dropped the pitch at the end. I did it for the purpose of feeling that sense of flow. Listen again. I do it. You hear what I'm doing there? I'm doing at the end. And that's just to feel that I have a sense of follow through, that I'm not doing and now I'm choking the sound when I end the sound. No, I want to feel yeah, I'm flying. There's nothing in the way. It's like I'm setting the sail in motion and it's flying and there's nothing that can stop it, even if I wanted to. Try it again. All right. So you're putting a bunch of H's in there. A bunch of H's or sort of a twitching thing because you're changing note. So that's why it's so wonderful to really slide and be nonchalant, and it's like super legato to the point of glissando. And of course the brain now goes, but wait a minute, that's going to make me sloppy singing on key, and I'm going to be flat and sharp and stuff. Well, what's so fascinating is that the opposite is true. When we allow ourselves to be flowy like that, the string, meaning our vocal cords, change shape so easily. So hitting those exact pitches become piece of cake, because now we're no longer jumping to them. We're not trying to adjust the length of the string. As we know, it is how much mass is vibrating that determines the pitch, right? So if we make a string thinner or shorter, it vibrates higher. Less mass is vibrating. But when you can do that glissando thing, well, then the vocals become so smooth in their ability to change pitch, so the accuracy becomes much, much better. It's amazing how that works. But it seems counterintuitive, because we think, oh, I need to practice to be able to sing pitch accurately. That's not how it works. It's amazing. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And your guitar string is sort of kind of flexible, but you're not pressing fingers on it to change the pitch. And you know, if you have something that's fretless, a fretless bass or a violin, then of course it's the accuracy of where you put the finger. But that's not what we do in the throat. We're not putting something on our string. We are actually changing the fabric, the elasticity of. We're changing the shape of the string itself. It's mind-boggling, really. So that would be my suggestion for you. Practice around slide. Allow yourself to do even more glissando and check that if there are H's in between, or if it really is one long ah. And every song you sing, just sing it on an ah, and then you recognize, can you do it without the interference, without the vocal cords going in and out, which is what happens when you say an H, right?
Okay.
Or without the interference of the tongue, the jaw, the neck, all those things, and move around. It's going to make a huge difference. Can you do that?
Yes, I will certainly do that.
Yeah, play around with it. And it feels so good, especially when we know nobody's listening. It's like, wow, I'm really playing with my instruments. It's amazing. And that's what taps us into this feeling good. And when we feel good, we want to do more of it. And then practice becomes automatic because it's a fun experience. And then we can't stop ourselves. And we suddenly practice for an hour and time has flown. Make sense?
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. So I have to avoid that H and practice with the R sound.
Yeah. And it's easy to do. If you just say ah, just do that.
Oh.
Ah, do bigger. Let it out. Inhale bigger. Ah, and exhale.
Oh.
There you go. Well, that was a bunch of notes in there. But there wasn't a melody. We couldn't tell that there was a melody, really. So if you do whatever melody, ah, it's still a one ah.
Yes.
Do it. Try it.
Ah.
Good. So since you're just making up melodies or pitch changes, then you don't have to listen for it if you did it correctly or not. Your feeling is, did something interfere suddenly just because you changed notes? Or was it still the same free-flowing ah? But you need to inhale, you need to exhale. We need wind in the sail.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah. Got you.
Good stuff.
That was very, very helpful. Many, many thanks once again, Per.
Well, thank you, and I look forward to hearing your next masterpiece.
Okay.
All right. Terrific. Take care.
All the best.
Okay,
hey,
thanks. Yeah, hey, Dol. Wow. David knows Swedish. Okay, I am unmuting next person here. Phone number ends with 878. Hello?
878, hello? Hello?
Yes.
Hi, it's Lily.
Hi, Lily.
Hi,
how
are you? Good.
I'm good. So let me just pull up your what you had written here. Well, while I do that, why don't you tell us a little bit about the song?
Okay.
And your voice.
Sure. Well, my husband Mike and I have a project called Noble Gas. This is sort of a side project that's called The Synaptics, which is made up of Mike, myself, and a friend, Randy, who lives in Phoenix. We live in Jersey City. And he actually wrote this instrumental probably 20 or 30 years ago when we were in a Doors copy band together. I was doing the lights, and they were playing the music. And so now we became acquainted again after all these years and have been writing songs, doing Randy's songs, and he was singing, and I was doing background vocals. And so this song, The Wolf, he had as an instrumental, and he asked me if I would sing the lead, and I'm a lyric writer, so I wrote the lyrics to it. And so the piece that you have, the copy that you have, is a beta copy. It's just singing through the lines like he had mentioned before, the other fellow, that it was done in sections, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
like the parts that didn't come out as well, I redid it. Or like Mike is very adept at engineering, he would take the notes that didn't come out right and adjust them in pitch and volume and so on. So this piece that you have is a rough version of this instrumental that was transformed by Mike's composition. Randy is doing the guitar. He's eventually going to add background vocals and my lyrics. So
okay.
The concept behind it, The Wolf, I began to think I kind of have sort of like a clear tone wave that I normally sing, kind of love songs and so on. But this one, I wanted to approach it with a little bit more of a gruff part in certain parts because the wolf, it's to try to bring out the meaning of this she-wolf who has to live this very intense lifestyle in the cold regions and taking care of the family. And so when I tried to sing like that, it came out where I was starting to choke. And, the saliva would start to really, and then I'd be choking and I'd, trying
okay.
to sing. So this is what my concern or interest is with this particular song.
Okay. All right. Let's play it and see what we have here then.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Is it okay if I just play a little bit?
Sure. If you want to, you could go towards the middle to end. There is where, like at the end, it's the great.
Unfortunately, that's something I would love to be able to do. Unfortunately, I can't. I can only start and stop here.
Okay.
So,
very good. Then sure. Then play just the first verse is fine. Sure.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Okay.
But by the way, before we do that, let's do. I wanted to do one more person after this. So mm-hmm. if we do Avril, if you're there, well, let me say two names here. So we'll see who gets on first. Avril, Bright Lights, and Peter, You'll Never Walk Alone. So here we go. Here's The Wolf with Lily.
Yay.
Thank you. dark shadow is cast across the snow. Adventures new, senses sharp, scouting the land. The lone wolf, finding a pack of her own, the
don't know the lyrics here, but should have them in front of me. But you know what I'm hearing,
uh-huh.
What I think would be cool, take it to the next step. I'm hearing it a little bit too much notes.
Okay.
I sound like in a scene that film Amadeus.
Yeah.
When they tell Mozart too many notes. Oh yeah, which notes? No.
Yeah.
I think rather than thinking about changing the vocal quality to make it rougher or gruffer, I think it is to work more with the lyrics and really express the drama. I mean, this feels very dramatical.
Yeah.
And you're singing, you have advanced intervals in the song. The melodic intervals are maybe tricky, and it almost sounds like you think they're tricky and you're very concerned about making them absolute accurate. But I think the cool thing about a song like this that has those not necessarily conventional melodic lines is that that adds to the drama.
Right.
And a little bit what I was talking about before, when we allow ourselves to, well, with David, I was talking about the physical aspect. When we allow ourselves to slide around and stuff, it actually brings us to a point where it's much easier to go from notes to notes, so to speak, to sing difficult intervals and be much accurate with them so that you as a singer, you don't have to think about it so much.
Okay.
Now it almost sounds, I'm getting the impression that when you're recording this, you are very much listening to the music, and you are making sure that you're absolute accurate.
Yeah, this is true, because this was the development of the melody was sort of happening at the same time that we were putting down the, like you mentioned, scratch track of it. You know, in other words, like I didn't, like you say, it's challenging melody for sure. So I was struggling a bit with the melody, so it must be, like you say, showing. I'm just wondering if the more I would sing with it and, you know, get used to the more complicated melody, is that a better way to go or to simplify the melody?
I think you already know the melody. I think the next step for you is to, I think when you recorded this, you were so in tune with it. You were recording here and you had the whole thing in your headphones?
Yes, I had the whole thing in my headphones, and I had a melody of that was done with a voice on, I think it was a Mellotron voice that was playing the melody.
Okay.
I was following that.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes perfect sense, because that's how it's coming across, that you are following and you're not the leader. So we're going to switch that so you become the leader. The band is following you in a sense. You're together timing-wise, but your intent is not to follow anyone. And this is actually very, very common for when we sing in studio, which we should have an entire separate session about, because it's fascinating. And a lot of what I do, I train singers to become good on stage and good in studio, because we don't have to listen so hard for the monitors, for the band, for what's going on in the headphones. We still hear it, but we don't have to focus on it. Our focus is on the audience, on the lyrics, and the intent of the song. So for you, you already know the melody. Take away that guided track. You don't need it. And if you feel you need it, then all you really need to do is just listen without even singing. Just listen, repeat it, because that's just a memorization thing to remember a melody. You can do it. You already know how to do it. You probably sung this several times. So
sure,
that's really just a memory issue. How does it go? What comes next?
Right.
For you
now. Yeah, because you have the repeating line.
Yeah. And you have a good ear, so I really don't think that's such an issue. The next step for you is to, what's the song about? What is it? If you're singing it to me, then sing it to me or whoever's out there. And it's not so much about we have to imagine specific people. Sometimes that is helpful. But most of all, is it the intent of the song? What's this wolf about? Is it scary?
Like the beginning is definitely scary. Like when I wanted to get that scary feeling when it goes, the dark shadow, you know, that it's talking about the wolf going through the woods at night,
right.
And it's the shadow of the moon through, you know, and her shadow, that feeling, so that you almost get that chill when you hear it.
Yes, so do it. That's right. So when you're singing that, then you do it to me. Do it to someone if you have someone nearby, or just an imaginary, or just a photo on the wall, right? Just to get your focus outside of yourself, so you're no longer listening to yourself. You're talking to that painting, and you are scaring the crap out of that person. If that's the intent of the song, I don't know what it is. But make sure that he, she feels it. It's dark, right? And you see the moon is up there, and it's dark. Here's a wolf, and whoa. And your voice will change automatically. So don't think of it as a physical thing. Think of it as the storytelling. And the rest will take care of itself. Because if you think about it from a physical standpoint in this situation for you, then then you're sort of artificially trying to squeeze your throat and then you get a sore throat, and that's what you experienced.
Right, and you're not getting it using that human element of, drawing the person in and painting this picture, like in front of, like envisioning the picture myself in my mind will, like you're saying, help me sing it in a way that will relay this picture of
that's right.
Of
that's
the
right.
Story. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So what I'm hearing now, or what I'm not hearing rather, is that I don't get what the song is about from the vocalist here. And I'm not talking about the words. I can't hear hear the words, but it's not about diction. I don't get what the intent of the singer is. I get the vibe of the song overall, so I can sort of guess what it should be maybe, but I don't get it from the singer. Now I get the singer is adapting, following, making nice with the music.
Sure.
But you're not the leader. You're not out in front. You're not scaring me. And I ultimately want to get that feeling, even if I don't hear the words.
Okay.
Right. So, and that's also a trap for people. They, you know, if I say I want to hear the word, well, then they start using diction. Right. I am talking about this wolf, and the moon is out. No, that's not the intent of the song. The intent of the song is not hearing someone who's trying to have a nice, pretty diction. The diction will be automatically out of the intent of what you're communicating.
Right.
Try that. Try that with this because you have it, right? And you can play, if you have the background tracks, do that. Take away the guide track. Just record it, even if it's not a professional recording studio, whatever you have going for you. Just record it. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to record it. Just practice with the background tape, and you are the leader.
Well, what is it an advantage to videotape yourself while you're singing?
No, I don't think so, unless you're working on performance. But not in your case here.
Not in
your case. You don't want to really look back, and you want to get into you when you expressed to me.
Right.
You take the words and then tell the story to somebody without singing it.
Okay.
As an
I see
exercise.
What you mean. Yeah, that's interesting.
You're not watching yourself. You're watching them. You're seeing the reaction of how they're taking it. Do they feel it's dark? Are they scared?
Right, and then are they feeling this resolution? Now she finds the pack, so now you're getting this maternal kind of feeling from the middle. And then towards the end, it's now she makes contact with humankind. And so now it's sort of like a coexistence. So now it's this resolution at the end. But then at the very last part, which I was talking about, the growling part, I don't know if you know Psychedelic Furs. It's an 80s band. But he always kind of sang like, the gray wolf. You know, I was thinking of adding like a background vocal line that was like that, but it makes me choke.
Yes, it would. Yeah.
That's not like a proper, a good way to...
No, and if it makes it choke, it's going to take us out of the story because we're saying, oh, gosh, she's choking herself. That doesn't scare us, right?
Right, right. Yeah, like, poor thing.
Yeah, it's like, oh, boy, what's she doing with her voice? Yeah, no. Scare us. And if we're not scared, then make sure you scare us. No, it's going to be a big difference. Try that out and see what happens.
Okay, and then I'll send you another version.
Terrific. All right.
Yeah.
Take care. Have a great weekend.
Yes, I will. And it's been a great pleasure listening in and being part of it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye now. Bye.
Bye. If you're not going to be totally upset, people, then what we'll do here is I'm going to do a quick last song. We've had so many guys here, haven't we? So. Avril, I'll play your song, Bright Lights. This is actually an original, I believe, isn't it? So let's play a little bit, and then I'll just talk just briefly about what I hear. Here we go.
Move to the city. The fly. I see you in the sunrise and the moon in your eyes. I saw a child begging you me. My dream stopped in the trance. Faces around, nobody found. We come and go, we're all alone. Drifting away. Oh, please stay, don't go away, don't take it away. Faces around, nobody's found. We come and go, we're all alone. Drifting away, oh, please stay, don't go away, don't take it away. Protecting my pride.
Actually, a good grand finale of today's session. Very good use of dynamics. Listen to that, folks. It's actually very different now. This requires when you record, it requires some equipment to make the dynamics justice, namely a compressor, so that the soft comes out and the loud comes out. As a final mix, now this is a produced song, right? The final mix is not a volume difference, it's a quality difference. We hear when she goes softer, it becomes more intimate, and then she goes bigger. It's not suddenly much louder, because that's a volume thing that we adjust in the mix. It's a quality, and that's what we as singers want to be able to do, to have rich dynamics within a song. Now, Real writes that she's not comfortable with high notes. Why not? Are you talking about higher notes than you sang, or are you talking about these high notes? If you're not comfortable with these high notes, then everybody else is wondering, why is she not comfortable with these high notes? Sing more of them. We want more of them. But obviously this is a studio recording, so you may very well have done this over and over to get it where you wanted to get it. So I understand that. A little bit the same thing as I was talking about with Javier. You have a rich, deep voice, and you have a strong voice. So the flexibility is something that can be easily achieved. You already have the flexibility, but it's like you say yourself, you don't have the confidence. And the reason you don't have the confidence is because you're used to singing, to sounding good. So if you take a chance and do these things that we were talking about, it may wobble, it may crack once in a while, it may slip once in a while, like we were talking about developing the balance. But that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. So when you hit those high notes now, when you start there with da 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 da, how high was that, by the way? All right, so you were okay. I mean, it's sort of for females who sing then more pop songs, pop and rock. That's sort of a decent range. And as a matter of fact, I was coaching a person just the other day here, who used to be like that. They sing A's, B's, and above B, C. She wouldn't dare to do anything else. It would just be then go to a more head voice-ish or a falsetto quality. And that's why it's so confusing also. I just want to add this, since we've talked a lot about falsetto head voice with the guys. But for females, that word falsetto is not used often. But it should be used because it's the same thing. See, females, when they sing in a choir, they talk about singing in head voice. But sometimes that becomes more of a falsetto, and that's when it becomes weaker. And that's all why the terminology becomes so confusing. But anyway, so for same thing for you, Avril, if we can develop a little more edginess, meaning the chords come together a little stronger, so it doesn't have to go light, then you can expand that range. And like this person that I was coaching the other day, she was singing E's and F's with superpower, yes, loud also, because it cuts through, but the chords are so connected, so it really has a powerful effect. And then we have more dynamics. See, we have more choices, and that's ultimately what we want as artists, isn't it? So with that, I'm going to say thank you for today. thank you, everybody, for participating, for being online. I know a lot of you have been here attending it, both webcast, and a bunch of you have actually been on the phone lines here listening in. And like I said from the beginning, obviously we wouldn't be able to get to that many songs. But hopefully we've covered a couple of different areas, common areas that I'm sure you can relate to also. So have a lot of fun exploring your voice. I'll put up a replay of this, and have a phenomenal weekend. All right, take care. Bye-bye.